prayer. We're thankful, Father in heaven, for the opportunity to come to your house of worship, Lord, to hear your words. And we ask and pray, Lord, as your words are spoken, whether it through sermons or even through songs, that, Lord, we may be uplifted, Lord, that we may be edified, Lord, that we may be convicted, and Heavenly Father, that you would give us the strength, Lord, to apply that which you have pricked our hearts, Lord, in our lives, that would bring you honor and glory. Lord, ask and pray for your blessing on your word and all of us that are here. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Turn with me to the book of St. Luke, chapter 15. With help of the Lord, we're going to be meditating on a portion of scripture that we all know. And not only all of us here, but, you know, I'm pretty fair to say that if you'd ask somebody that really doesn't go to church, if they really know about the prodigal son, they have some idea of that story. We're going to read, with the help of the Lord, from verse 1 all the way until verse 24. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. And the publicans and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he layeth on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto him, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more over than the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one, doth light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she had found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, I will go to my father, I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his finger, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, and let's make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. To kind of get a better understanding of what and why these parables, Christ spoke about of these three parables, it says that there drew nigh unto him publicans and sinners. This was a time in Christ's life when he was kind of nearing the end of his 3-year ministry, making his way up to Jerusalem to be crucified, to offer himself on the cross for your sins and my sins. And who was following him? We can read in many different portions of scriptures that when Christ was going from one place to another, he always had a following. There was always a group of people that were following him. There were those that wanted to hear more about what he had to say. There were those that were following him because, oh, maybe my friends were there and I'm just going to go join him. And perhaps there are those, which we know even in this portion of scripture, that were following him to listen to hear what he had to say. And because he didn't align his beliefs and his thoughts with the Pharisees and Sadducees, that they then wanted to find a way to discredit him and disprove what he had to say. And this is one of the reasons, this is one of the things that happened that says when they drew nigh unto him, all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. If this is a man of God, if this is who he is, why then is he hanging around with sinners? Why is he associating himself with those that don't agree with what the law says or not following the law? And Jesus looked at them, and he comes up with these 3 parables. A couple of weeks ago, I had the sermon on the first 2, and I'm not going to get into very much detail with them. Other than saying that at the end, there was one man that had 100 sheep, one got lost, he left 100 alone to go find that one. And see, Jesus spoke to them in parables. And what is a parable? I'll reiterate again. A parable is an allegory or a story that can be interpreted to reveal hidden meanings, to illustrate a meaning or a message, to get a message across. And he spoke to them in parables to their time and place where they can understand what it is that he's trying to tell them. And the question is, did the Pharisees and the scribes understand what Jesus was saying to them? Why was he with the sinners and the publicans? To seek that which was lost. And if you look at that one in that one portion of scripture where he says he leaves the 99, the Pharisees were the 99. They didn't need to be sought after. They felt that they were righteous. They were part of the fold, but there was one that left. And Christ left the 99 for that one. And then he goes on to say that there was a lady that had 10 pieces of silver, 10 coins. One rolled off the table, or one got lost, if we will, and she lights a candle, sweeps the house to find the one, and when she finds it, she calls her neighbors because that had meaning. There was something of value to her. Same thing with that shepherd. That one sheep, there was value. There was a value to that one shepherd that one sheep would not be lost. And again, Christ says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that repents. And that's why Jesus associated himself with the sinners and the publicans. And then we come to the next parable of the prodigal son. The word prodigal is not actually written in the scripture. The word prodigal means somebody that wastes, that is wasteful. Somebody that spends money in a reckless manner or value. Recklessly extravagant, in a reckless and extravagant way. And we read this portion of scripture that we know very well. And this morning, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to focus on the prodigal son. And then my next sermon is going to be on the brother. But all in all, the main story is about the father who loves God. who forgives. You see, this father had two sons. And Scripture tells us that the younger son asks of the father to give me a portion of goods that befalls me. Give me my inheritance. Give me what belongs to me. And in essence, what he's telling the father is, I don't want to be part of the family anymore. I want to go do what I want to do. I want to leave. I don't want anybody to tell me. I don't want you to have your thumb on top of me. I want to enjoy myself and have fun. And this is something that happens over and over and over again. And maybe not so much in our families, but I know quite a few people that have had a situation that's like this. I don't want to be under your rule. I don't want to be under your thumb. I want to have fun. I want to do what I want to do, what is fun to me. You may not agree with it, but I want to do it. I want to go. I want to do what I want to do. And I want it now. How do you think the Pharisees reacted when they heard such thing? Because this is not common. Because he says, and he gave it to him. The father gave him what he requested. Shameful request, but he gave it to him anyways. According to the Old Testament, the elder son got the inheritance. But you know, the inheritance was not given until the father was dead. So in essence, he's saying, you know what? Dad, I want you to die so I can take the inheritance. I don't want you around. I want what belongs to me. Scripture tells us that the elder, that if the father would die, the elder would get 2/3 and the younger would get 1/3. This family came from a well-to-do family. Scripture tells us that they had land, he had cattle, he had servants. And we know as we read the scripture, they hired musicians. They threw a big party when the son came back. This is not somebody that was down and out. And he wanted his third of that of the inheritance. And what did he do? He takes the inheritance, he converts it to cash. And he goes to a far off country. I want to get away from the family as far as I can. I don't want to be near them. I don't want anybody to know what I'm doing. I don't want to be associated with them. I want to go. And he ends up in a far off country. Think about it. Here comes a guy with a wad of cash, no strings attached, and he wants to have a good time. What kind of people do you think he's going to be associated with? And he did just that. Scripture says that he wasted his life. He wasted his money with righteous living. And we see going on reading in verse 30 when the son makes the accusation and says, hey, you give your son who took everything that he took, and he devoured his living with harlots. This is what this man, this younger son, thought having a good time is all about. And if the father stopped him and said, "You know what, son? That's not a good idea. Don't go. Do you think he would hear? Some maybe would, but he didn't care. He wanted it. And he wanted it now. And this is the story, the illustration that Jesus is portraying about this younger son. And who is he talking about? When we're talking about the sinners? Those that don't want to have a relationship with God. He's talking about the person, the younger son, that wants to go away, far away from God as far as he can. He doesn't want to have any kind of accountability. He wants to do what he wants to do. And this is the life of a sinner. This is the life of those that did not and would not accept Jesus as their Savior. And the correlation between this young man and a sinner is very is what it is, because God has given all of us goods. Do we not have a roof over our head? Do we not have a car? Do we not have a job? Do we not have food on our table? No different than this man. This man was living, he had a father that was wealthy. We have a father that is wealthy, and he's granting unto us the wealth as well. And the sinner turns his back on God and says, I don't want to have nothing to do with it. With you, I want to enjoy myself. I want to have fun. And what did God do? What does God do? God allows that to happen to the sinner. Just like the father allowed the son to give him his portion and go. He didn't stop him. You see, this is where God gives you and I free will. This is where God gives us the opportunity to make the choice, whether it's the right choice or wrong choice, and mostly it's going to be the wrong choice that we're going to make. But the father gave him the choice to go. God gives us the choice as well. You don't want to be held accountable? You don't want my love? You don't want my mercy? You don't want my protection? You don't want my forgiveness? You don't want my grace? Go. See, God doesn't want a sinner, or he doesn't want somebody to be around him that doesn't want to be around God. We go on, it goes on, and it says that he goes out and he's having a good time of his life. And that's what being in sin is about. Having fun, having a good time. Fulfilling the lusts and the pleasure that my body, that I want to give out, or that I want to have. And how long will that last? Because we see here that he says, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, which is but a time, having fun is but a time, it's but a short season, and you're going to want that for a short season as opposed to eternity? He wasted his life with righteous living. And when he had spent all, he began to be in want. So when a sinner comes to that point where he is perhaps at the bottom and doesn't really know what to do, everything is gone, everything is lost, that he says, okay, now I got to do something. My money's all gone. My friends are all gone. I've got to do something. I got to get a job. There's got to be a way for me to live. I've got to do it. And what does he do? He goes and he attaches himself to a citizen of that country. He joined himself. Reading some commentaries about this, he said that this man, the younger son, joined himself to a man that really didn't want him. But he's like, he was always there right next to him because he had nowhere else to go. And finally, this man who had some land and he had some swine said, okay, go feed my swine. He wanted to separate himself from this man that was being perhaps clingy and attached to him, and he wanted to separate himself. And he says, go feed my swine. And he goes because he had nowhere else to go. And he says that he would have fain have filled his belly with a husk the swine did eat. He was so hungry that he would eat the food that the swine were eating. And perhaps he was fighting the pigs for the food in the slop. This is the picture that Christ is illustrating of a life of a sinner without God. You see, because no man gave it to him, even though he wanted it and needed it. And when he was fully on his back, he looked up and he finally realized where he was at and what he had. How many hired servants of my father's have enough bread to spare, and I perish in hunger? See, that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If you find yourself in a position, a situation where no matter what you do, you can't make it because you keep trying on your own and you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, listen to the conviction and the speaking of the Spirit. And he says, I will go to my Father and tell him that I have sinned. You see, he wanted to go to his Father and he wanted to repent for his actions. And here in verse 20, he says, and he arose and he came to his Father, but when he was a great way off, his Father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. See, that's a great picture of God. Even though a sinner has separated himself from God, God is still looking out and waiting for that soul to come back. Verse 21 says that the son came back and he says, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And as the son was speaking this to his father, the father stopped him and said, looked at his servants and said, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and his shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. Bring forth the best robe. Here's the son that came back, that repented. He asked for forgiveness. He knew that where he was at and that what he did was wrong. And in the life of the sinner, when you get to that point of repentance and you accept Jesus as your Savior, this is what happens. You are no more in your rags and filth that we roll around with the pigs. He says, put on the best robe, which is the robe of Jesus Christ, the white robe. Put on him the ring on his hand. And the ring on the hand is the significance of the acceptance into the family. It's a signet of who you belong to. And shoes on his feet, which back in those times, the family members had the sandals and the servants didn't. This was all said to associate and bring him back, bring a sinner back that has repented into the family of God. He says, for this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and was found. And they began to be merry. I don't know if the Pharisees and scribes really understood this parable. Why Jesus was with the sinners and the publicans? Because he loved them so. He loves us all. And he loved you and me so that he died on the cross of Calvary. For our sins, he paid the ransom. But you see, God gives you and I that choice. Can you imagine the son of a Jewish family wallowing and feeding, trying to fight the pigs for food? Which is a big no-no because the pigs were an unclean animal. And that's what Jesus does and did for you and I. Dying on that cross of Calvary, we were no more in our filth and rags, but we've been given a white robe. This lesson is about sin and rebellion to God the Father. It's a rebellion against relationship. It's a rebellion against God's authority. It's about shunning all responsibility and accountability. It's about not caring for what God has provided for you and me. It's to take all the gifts he surrounds you and I and squander them as if they were nothing. It is to run in lust, not caring about anything except what you want, where you will ultimately find yourself in the pig slop, empty, destitute, no one to help you, facing eternal life, death, and then the sinner, when he realizes his condition, first tries to fix it with his own life. And we see that happening in today's day and age with people turning to drugs and alcohol, trying to find a way to soothe their condition. Moving farther and farther away, fighting to survive. But when the sinner recognizes that he has nowhere to go, he can always come to God, and God will receive him with his hands wide open. Again, a story that we all know very well. And we were all in that one position at one point in time. God gives us a choice. And this is the reason why he gave these three parables to the Pharisees, to the scribes. Because he came to seek the lost. He came to give those that are broken, those that have nowhere to go, a home, an inheritance, love, forgiveness, joy, and peace. May God bless his word this morning. And Lord willing, next time we'll be talking about the elder son.